snowy day up in South Royalton, Vermont, and we are here at the Worthy Burger, yet another enterprise from Dave Broderick.
Hi, Dave.
How you doing?
We're good now that we've had some Worthy Burgers. So, Dave, you're well known to the beer scene in New York and to those who visit New York as the founder and proprietor of the Blind Tiger Ale House.
Correct.
But we're in Vermont. What gives?
Well, I started coming up here to this area, Barnard in particular, which is the town next door to South Royalton, in the late 1990s. After founding the Blind Tiger, I'd need a place to go kind of relax and decompress. And I'd loved Vermont ever since I was a little kid, skiing and all of that. So I started coming back up here and just, you know, wanted to... There wasn't a really great beer bar nearby. I'd have to drive to Montpelier to go to Three Penny. Actually, Three Penny didn't even exist back then. So I started sort of figuring out, you know, this area needs something. But I also knew some people in the business up here and how tough it was. Seasonality, low population. So it was about 10 years of thinking and analyzing and also finding the right people. My two partners, Kurt Lessard and Jason Merrill. It took a long time to bring the three of us together. But that's kind of where it started. It was all basically coming up here, decompressing, and then also realizing I wanted to eventually move here. And sort of reverse, instead of doing 5 days a month up here and the rest in New York, reversing that. 5 days a month in New York and the rest of the time here. And once Iris and I, my wife and I, made that decision, then we were like, we really need to start looking at doing something up here. And that was 2009, and we started working on this a year ago, almost exactly a year ago, and opened up at the end of August.
It's combination craft beer bar and craft burger bar.
Yeah, the one thing we knew was that it couldn't just be a beer bar. You know, and we, in fact, I purposely chose Worthy Burger and put the food front and center as opposed to highlighting the beer for that reason. It's like a beer bar just wouldn't have made it. Just not enough people. And so we were very nervous about, you know, will people buy our burgers? They have to sell. It has to be a restaurant. And thank God they really... seem to really enjoy the burgers. 60% of our business is the burgers, only 40% selling beer. And that's the way we knew that it had to be. I mean, there's so many great beer bars around anyway. I just don't think you can open up a beer bar anymore. It really has to be about the food. You know, of course the beer is going to be good. You know, I mean, there's so many great beers out there to choose from. But the food is the one thing that you really can control. And it is the only, you know, it makes you special. If you can come up with something that's really good, they have to come to you to get it. Whereas the beer...
They can get it someplace else.
They can get it someplace else. We're all fighting over these kegs and all of that. And I didn't even want to do that. Like, I don't want to do events here. I don't want it to be a typical, you know, I want it to be a restaurant and really stand alone on our food and that we pair with some really nice beers.
Well, you've got some tremendous things on tap. How many taps are there?
There are 14.
And... almost seven are Hill Farmstead.
Yeah, I think right now we're running five Farmstead.
And where else in the world will you find that?
Probably the only other place in the world would be Blackback up in Waterbury. Ricky Benet, who owns that place, is like a fanatic for Hill Farmstead. I think he runs as many as eight at a time. But it's pretty hard to do much more than five or six just because Sean doesn't make that much. So, yeah, we're really lucky. I mean, between Hill Farmstead... And Lawson's Finest, which we get a little more periodically. We just had three kegs on. I've still got a couple in the cooler. But between those two, we feel pretty lucky because there just aren't many places where you can get those beers.
And do you have any plans for cask beer?
Yes. In fact, I have two gravity casks waiting to be filled. Sean Lawson filled one of them with his Kiwi, which is his new New Zealand double IPA. And it was gone in like 2 hours, which is amazing for this place because, again, we are not a beer bar. And Sean came down. It was a great night. And right now, I'm really waiting for the brewery next door. Patrick Dakin's opening up the Freight House Brewing Company, which is right there in those two double doors. He's doing a 2.5-barrel system, and he's got a great following in this area from having been the head brewer at Norwich Inn for a number of years. We probably won't do any more cask unless it's Hill Farmstead or Lawson or maybe The Alchemist, because they have such strong draws. I wouldn't do anybody from out of state. I just don't think we would get the turnout for it. But next door, definitely. So we're kind of waiting for him to get up and running, and then we'll start doing cask. Probably one a week, something along those lines. We'll make a do a special, and we'll do a food around it, kind of make it a special, like on a Wednesday.
How do you choose which beers you're going to put up? I mean, there's obviously heavily weighted towards Vermont beers, but then you have other domestic beers. I know you had recently had a Dogfish Head event, so that's why there's Dogfish beers. But you had Lagunitas, Smutty Nose. Do you just pick beers that you like, or is there
a little
beers
bit,
that aren't found too often up here in terms of the breweries?
That's where it started. It was, you know, having gone to places, we're in this area called the Upper Valley, which is part New Hampshire, part Vermont, Hanover is one side. We're on the other, Woodstock, South Royalton. And the Upper Valley, which is about 100,000 people, didn't have a place where I could get the beers that I wanted to get on draft. And so it sort of started with that idea. Let's offer the things that other people don't offer. Let's not have Harpoon. Let's not have Long Trail. Switchback. You know, all the you know, you walk around to any of the bars that are bar restaurants around us, and they have the same five beers every single place. So we're like, okay, well, it's easy to not be that. And that's kind of where it started. But then also, you know, anytime you make a list, you have to make sure you have all your flavor profiles across the board. So each line represents a flavor profile. And we pretty much stick. We have chart, and we're constantly, you know, you follow the chart. And so when I do inventory, and when I'm getting ready to order, I'll check and see, okay, what flavor profiles do we need to fill? Then I start calling the distributors and tell them exactly what I need. And you know, there isn't nearly as many breweries up here as there are in New York. So, it can be a little bit, you know, slim pickings sometimes for specific things. And you find yourself running the same beers kind of over and over again. But it's getting better. You know, every 6 months we get some new breweries. We just got Ballast Point and Alesmith just came in. So it's, you know, it's improving. Sean Hill is also a distributor, and he does the Shelton Brothers products, as you know. And he's getting other things, too. He just picked up Cigar City.
Okay.
It's getting better, but it's certainly not like the smorgasbord you get down in New York, where you just, my God, it's like endless, the choices.
Dave, you've obviously got a serious pedigree in beer, so anyone who comes to Worthy Burger knows that there's going to be some really good stuff up on tap. So you could say it's, for this area, it's a beer destination. On top of that, is it a food destination? And we just had two burgers. I had the special today, Oyster Po' Boy, and
I had the salmon teriyaki with a topping of grilled kimchi, Iris's kimchi.
Correct.
And I gotta say, it is a burger destination. That is incredibly flavorful. You know you're eating quality, and we don't eat meat, so we couldn't try the beef burgers. Tell us about your philosophy with your food, what you're offering here, how it sets you apart from any place else in the area.
One of the other driving forces behind this place was we've got a lot of friends up in Barnard that are farmers. A lot of restaurateurs in this area, they think local food's too expensive. So that was a big challenge for us, was to be able to provide our farming friends with a market and really bring that stuff to the people and show other restaurateurs as well as our clientele that you can serve super local, super healthy food at a good price. And that's a huge driving force behind this place. And but also the other thing, it was we came up with the name Worthy Burger, and we were like, okay, what makes our burger worthy? What's going to be the thing that sets it apart? And we tried millions of burgers of our own making, different blends and this, that, and the other thing. But we did it up at my house, cooking on a Big Green Egg, which is an outdoor cooker. And what we realized, the main difference was cooking on hardwood. That always stood out.
So you've got a wood...
We've got a wood-fired grill. A friend of ours made it from scratch. It's an amazing... It looks like a medieval torture device. It's got all these pulleys and craziness going on.
It creates a really nice aroma in the
it
restaurant.
It does. The minute you walk in, you smell wood smoke. And they see a roaring fire, and it just fits Vermont really, really well. But it's just the taste is hugely different. And then with our French fries, which you also couldn't try because they're cooked in beef fat. Now, up until, I guess, the 70s, most fries were cooked in beef suet, beef fat, beef tallow, and even McDonald's. And they stopped, you know, they started using vegetable oil right around then. It was cheaper and easier. And I knew that we had to try that. We tried duck fat and beef tallow. And we did it with our customers as well as our staff. And beef tallow won hands down as just a more complex, deeper, richer. Something about beef fat and potatoes, just really meat was, and potatoes.
That's the secret when growing up in Belgium of my mother trying to learn how to make the Belgian frites. And she had learned, like, no, aside from having to fry them twice, you did it in beef fat.
Beef fat. And that really is the key. So it was finding those little niches, and what invariably found is that we were just going back about 75 years. Like, everything we do here, they used to, you know, everything used to be grass-fed. You know, all animals. That changed in the 40s. So we're just sort of going back to our great-grandparents cooking, and we want to do more of that. We want to really start kind of exploring how things were done a long time ago. You know, a lot of it involves fermentation, and, you know, we're going to start rendering our own beef fat, doing these things that hopefully continue to, like, set us apart.
We don't eat meat, we eat fish, but we also saw looks like a really good vegetarian burger. As we saw some salads go by that were enormous. And
cheese plates.
You have cheese plates from all kinds of local
Vermont
cheese, not Cabot, but we're talking Jasper Hill, we're talking really
small, high quality
artisanal cheeses. And the other thing that blew us away was you had on the condiments bar, the condiments bar alone was pretty impressive with your homemade sauces and condiments, but you've got pickled items that are local made.
When you're married to a Korean who's very into fermentation, I just love pickles. And luckily, we have a great prep cook, Tucker, who's also a complete beer geek and is pretty famous in this area, but he also happens to be a great cook. And so he's very much into lacto-fermentation, doing the pickling. He did this great pickled Brussels sprouts with a mustard sauce. I mean, it was just, people went crazy over it and became a meal in itself for some people. So just when you think of burgers, I mean, condiments, pickling, it's just such an important, and also, as the Koreans know, when you're eating meat, it's really good for digestion to eat it with something pickled, kimchi. They have 187 different varieties of kimchi, you know, and other pickled, it's all these small dishes that are almost all fermented that help you eat meat. And so, you know, it was kind of a no-brainer to kind of take that and apply it
to
the Worthy Burger.
And you also have the kombucha on tap as well.
Kombucha, which a friend of ours, another one of our farming friends up in Barnard, makes that, Corinne Ewing. She also is one of our investors. A lot of those farmers, that was the other thing that we wanted to do, was to really kind of link up in a more unusual way with the farmers. So most of the people that supply our food are also investors. So that was another incentive to keep our prices low so that our investors could afford to eat here. And they do. They come down at least once a week, and sometimes more. So that's been a huge... It's just so good to see all the farmers in here eating with the clientele, talking to them, telling them what's going on. I don't know if you saw the photograph of the Worthy Investors. Those are all the farmers, including Corinne, who makes the kombucha.
So you've got fish on the menu, you've got oysters on the menu, and you think, well, we're in the middle of Vermont, how can that be any good? But you told us...
Yeah, I'm really lucky. My partner, Jason Merrill, who's also our chef, oversees the kitchen. He, on the side, we all have side jobs, and he drives a fish truck. A friend of his owns a fish business down in Boston, Wood Mountain Fish. He's the number one fish purveyor in the state of Vermont. And Jason drives for him at least 2 days a week, so we get first dibs off that truck, and we really, you know, we take advantage of it. We always have a fish sandwich. We try to do oysters, raw oysters. We do a lot of fried oysters and tuna steak. And we get all kinds. It's always changing. Swordfish.
It's going to be fresh, though.
It's going to be just that from that day.
Well, we had oysters on the half shell, and they were huge, and they were incredibly fresh, delicious. And we eat a lot of oysters, quite a bit. And so... to be impressed by oysters, yeah, it's got to be good. And, boy, they were really good.
Yeah, the fish comes up Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. you're in pretty good shape. It's going to be super, super fresh. And it literally comes off the boat early that morning, around 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, the boats come in. He's got Ethan, who owns Wood Mountain Fish, has his own boat, the Rosa Gold. And so he's got a really nice setup. And just knowing it's going to Hen of the Wood, the best restaurant in Vermont, as well as all the other places, Chad's Place, Prohibition Pig, they're all buying from Ethan. Paul Saylor with American Flatbread, Burlington Hearth, Farmhouse Tap and Grill, they all buy from Ethan.
So you were thinking, you come up to Vermont, a little less stressful, more relaxing than New York City, and you open up a place.
I ruined it.
Now you come back, when you come back to New York, you're like, yeah, I'm escaping. This is so much better. I'm on vacation.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, sometimes I do look forward to going down to New York just to get a break. But generally, then I'm down there one day and I'm ready to come back. Because New York's still way more stressful than up here. This is actually a really good place. Apart from the challenges of low population and people having to drive here from distances, apart from that, it's a great place to do business. It is just less stressful. And your staff, they're not trying to do something else. They're not trying to be actors. They take this very seriously. And they see this as a career. And I've never worked in a place that was like that. It's my first time. So I really love who we're working with here. And my partners are great to deal with. They make it really easy. And the clientele are just so... like, they saw how much money we poured into this place. And they're all like, thank you for spending so much money. They really... The crowd really appreciates kind of what we're trying to do. And bring good beer, bring really high quality, good local food together in a place that really hasn't had that up till now. So... well, it's fun.
This part of Vermont is a beautiful place to visit in the winter, as we see snow falling behind us. The trees covered, like sugar-coated trees, and we're in this gorgeous, stereotypical New England town with a train station and with all these old buildings and the town square, and again, covered in snow. It's going to be just as beautiful in summertime when it's all green and in bloom. So this is definitely a destination for anyone who wants to have a nice, relaxing experience. Come up for some fantastic beers. Maybe some beers you won't even find anywhere where you live. Well, you're certainly not going to get 5 Hill Farmstead beers if you live in New York City. But on top of that, incredibly fresh, delicious, local food prepared with real care and real skill. So we're coming back, BR?
Yes.
I hope so.
We'll be coming back.
You got to check out the summer.
Yeah, we'll be coming.
We'll be coming.
Yeah. Come up for the fall leaves.
The leaves changing.
Yeah.
Why not mud season? We'll come up for that.
We could use it during mud season. I think we'll all be in this place alone during mud season.
Dave, thanks so much for sitting with us and telling us all about this new venture. It's very exciting. Worthy Burger in South Royalton, Vermont. I think we'll be back.
Thank you.